Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. My thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, if you have not had the radio on or the TV on, you probably missed a very interesting discussion going on right now about what are we going to do to pay for all this additional growth that keeps coming to Fort Mill, and just doesn't seem to be any end in sight. Christy Spears is with us today. She's the chair of the Fort Mill School Board. She and others from the board have been trying to educate the York County Council as to why they need to increase the impact fees, and we're going to talk to her about that today. So, Christy, welcome into Straight Talk. It's been a while since you've been on here.
It has been a while. Happy to be back.
Tell everybody a little bit about you first.
So, I'm Christy Spears. As you mentioned, I am the board chair for the Fort Mill School District. I was first elected in 2016, so I'm beginning my third term. I'm a long-term resident, been here since elementary school, graduated from Fort Mill High School, Clemson University, 25 years at Bank of America, and then decided to switch gears and focus more on spending time in the community and volunteering and things like that.
Now you're up to your neck in it.
And I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. So to educate people, I don't know. I can't even remember how many years ago it was, but the school district, the Fort Mill School District, is now the largest school district in the county.
Correct.
On the smallest landmass. You have been building at least one new school a year for as long as I can remember.
About, yeah.
And you need to build more, bottom line. So the question is how to pay for them. And years ago, I can remember so clearly when this impact fee for the school district came up, there was a special meeting at the McKelvey Center in New York. It holds about 500 people. It was packed.
It was.
And I think the county council was stunned when resident after resident after resident got up there and said, yes, 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 put this, what I think then was an $18,000 impact fee, in place on every new residential place. And the county council said, this is what we love to hear. Yes, we'll go ahead and do it. And they did it. But those impact fees only last for a certain period of time, and you have to renew them. Is that right?
That is correct. So let me go back a little bit further in history. We've had an impact fee since 1996, but it was only $2,500.
Okay.
And it was shortly after outlawed by legislation, and we were grandfathered in. It was 2016 when Ray Felder was able to get schools, K-12 schools, as an eligible facility in what the law says about development impact fees. So there is currently a Development Impact Fee Act that describes the calculation, the process, and it has a list of eligible things. They are typically done for police, fire, water, parks and rec, et cetera. And Ray Felder changed the legislation in 2016 to allow K-12 schools. That's when we began looking into this for our district. We went before the council in 2017, as you recall, 2017 for the Planning Commission, 2018 for the council. Yes, we were at the McKelvey Center with a packed audience, because prior to that, every time we built a new school, it was strictly through a bond referendum and a taxpayer vote to increase their own taxes to pay for the new schools that were required.
Which you had done multiple times.
I don't know the exact amount, but we've done 7, 8, 9 bond referendums, you know, in the last 10, 20 years.
Jeez, amazing.
So, the way the study works is it calculates how many students does an average home, single family or multifamily, put into the school? What is the cost of that seat? What is the cost of the land, and does a prorata type share, and that's where the figure came up back in 2018 of $18,000, give or take, for a single-family home and about $12,000 for a multifamily. And the reason is because, on average, it's about 0.5 kids per house when you look at the entire district as a whole, and it's about 0.3 for a multifamily. So it's a different share of impact on the district. We've had that fee in place, and we've collected $73, $74 million to date, having collected them since July 1st of 2018. Your question about how often do they have to be renewed, at a minimum, they have to be reviewed every 5 years. A full study has to be done at least every 10. Okay. But in 22, we resolved some legal matters with the county because there were different interpretations of how the fees could be spent. We had already built the schools by the time some of the laws were settled, and so we weren't able to spend it retroactively.
Right.
So we did an amendment in 22, and that set the expiration date of 25, which is what we're in now.
Okay.
So the current fees will cease on July 1st of 25 as it stands today.
And the last school you built was built entirely from impact fees.
That is correct. We have almost completed the construction for Flint Hill Elementary School. It is a larger school. It will house 1,200 elementary students, 100% paid for in cash. And we are able to spend some of the collected dollars as well towards the middle school that is now under construction beside it. Okay. So we are continuing to spend the dollars, and now that we've gotten the elementary covered, we'll be able to apply those to the middle school.
All right. Well, since the impact fee was put in place, mm-hmm. The second impact fee, $30,000,
yes.
The price of everything has gone up.
It has gone
crazy since COVID. Pennies for Progress is probably the best example of that. What used to be $400,000 a mile to repave a road is now $800,000 a mile. If it costs $50 million to build a school, it probably is close to $100 million now.
Not quite 100, but probably in the 60s and 70s for elementary and middle.
Okay. So you've gone back using this formula that's defined in the legislation, and you hired somebody who knows how to put all these numbers together, right?
And it's the same consultant that the county has used, that we've used, right. Several other school districts have used, York, Clover, et cetera, has completely redone the calculation. And to your point, everything has gone up. Not only have the costs gone up, but I mentioned the pupil generation rate has also gone up. So we were at 0.51 kids per house. Now we're at 0.54 kids per house. So all of the share of students has gone up. But construction costs have gone up astronomically. We're now up 20 to 80% from where we were if we compare it to the 2018 calculation, which was, by the way, based on 2016 data. So we're almost 10 years later. It's not a surprise that it has gone up. But the fee now that has been calculated, the maximum allowable, is closer to $30,000 for a single family and $20,000 for a multifamily.
All right, so the process, as I understand it, once you have all this data,
yes,
you've got to go to the York County Council to get their blessing on this thing to put in place.
We actually have to start with the Planning Commission.
Okay.
And we did that through the fall to get the Planning Commission to approve it so that it can go to the County Council for their approval.
So the Planning Commission did approve it?
They did.
They did approve it. And you've kind of run into a buzzsaw at the York County Council. I think they're stunned by the size of the request. That's the big thing.
It is. It is. There is definitely sticker shock about the cost, both of the cost, because we went through what it actually cost to build these schools, and it seems excessive, but they are definitely in line with all the schools being built around the community. In fact, our school that we just built is not the most expensive school being built in the county. It is just that's what has happened to the rising costs of construction and land. I would say our land has gone up dramatically as well. So there's a lot of sticker shock. I think generally most of our council is supportive of this as an alternative funding mechanism, because the only other one available right now really is bond referendums that spread the cost to all existing residents. So I think fundamentally it makes sense that the new homes that are causing the increase in population would bear the cost of their share. But there is a lot of hesitation about the dollar figure itself.
Okay. Well, you've had two readings on this now?
I've had two readings.
All right. Neither one of them has gone your way, but that's not final. It's not final until we get to the third, which is where is decided?
We've yet to have a full council. We've had people missing it at all of them. And they have been approved, but we've heard the comments that they're not convinced that, that they can support the full amount at the third reading.
When we say approved, that's a formality to keep it moving forward.
That's right. Yeah. Correct. Okay. That is correct.
But based on the comments that we're hearing this morning on the air, the council is definitely, you know, they're stunned by this, and they keep saying there's got to be a better way, there's got to be a better way, got to be a better way. Well, the only other way to pay for these schools is what you just referenced.
Right.
You'd have to have another bond referendum, which would have to be approved by all of the taxpayers in that district.
And to be fair, we will still have to have bond referendums because these fees are only intended to pay for the proportional share of what the new homes are bringing. So it is not a full, even though we're paying for the one school in cash, we can't pay for every new school strictly on these fees. We will still have referendums, but the difference is in the size. So we avoided $70 million of debt by having this one school built in cash. And just to put that in perspective, we would have had to raise about 20 mills that we didn't raise because we didn't need it. We were able to use impact fees instead. Had we raised the millage if we had not had impact fees and we would have had to raise the millage, the average home in Fort Mill would have paid an extra couple hundred dollars a year in taxes. The average business would have paid, small business, $1,000, $1,200 a year in taxes. So that's where the funds would come from instead of the builders who are bringing the new development to our community.
And really the cost for this is, I mean, the builders are just passing along to the new homeowners. That's what they're doing. They're not eating it themselves.
One would certainly believe. Yeah.
Every time they pull a permit, they got to pay the $30,000 or the $18,000, whatever the number is.
And the other thing I would say is the cost of housing has not only gone up $18,000 in the last 8 years, right? It's grown significantly above the rise of the impact fee.
I can remember sitting here at this Straight Talk table years ago with a very well-known realtor here in Rock Hill who was arguing against the impact fees because it was going to kill growth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that hasn't happened. I mean, when you have a high-growth area like Fort Mill with the record for public education that you have, being on the border with a major metropolitan area, this is where people want to live. And you can't escape that. That's the way it is. And people are coming from wherever and paying prices for homes that we never thought would exist in this community 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
So that's one of the interesting things. I do believe a lot of people are moving here from other parts of the country that have a much higher cost of living. And so the new home prices are not as shocking to them because of, you know, where they're moving from. However, I think it's worth noting that right now the average new single-family home for the last 2 years has sold for over $600,000. So they are, and they're, you know, they're five-bedroom homes. Some have ranged up to approximately $3 million. So there are not a lot of affordable houses being built. There are townhomes that are also, you know, being built. But right now, even they range from roughly $300,000 to $400,000for a three-bedroom townhome.
So if you're going to live in Fort Mill, it's going to cost you more money than it would cost you to live, let's say, in Rock Hill, or in York, or in Clover, or down in Chester County, or wherever. I mean, that's the way it is.
And that is true. However, there are existing homes that are also for sale in Fort Mill, and there are homes on the market today for less than $300,000. So there are homes available. They're existing homes. The new ones are not being built at that level.
All right, so the response that you've gotten from the county council is there's got to be another way. Okay, besides a bond referendum for everybody in the Fort Mill School District, is there another way?
There's really not existing ways. There are potentially some options with penny sales tax. I know that has been done successfully in some other counties. It is not anything our county has ever entertained that I'm aware of. We obviously have the pennies for progress, 1 cent sales tax. That potentially could be investigated, but it is not anything that's actively being pursued. And so it really, our hands really are tied that without an impact fee, or whatever, we don't receive an impact fee. So even if we have a small impact fee or a large impact fee, any amount over the collections from impact fees must be paid for by existing residents and businesses.
So I think it's fair to say that the worst that could come out of this would be they would renew your existing fee.
I would think the worst that could come out of this would be to do away with fees altogether, and that would be detrimental to our community.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think they would at least go back to the $18,000, $12,000, whatever those numbers are. But maybe the number is somewhere in between.
Well,
politically,
even,
I guess that's where they would have to
even,
go.
Even the $18,000 amortized for inflation to today brings you to about $24,000. So, right, $18,000 in 2018 terms is about $24,000 in today's money. So the fee is not that's been calculated. You know, as I said, it's been 8 to 10 years since it was calculated, so it's not surprising that it has grown significantly.
I'm still trying to think what it is that's in the council's mind in terms of how we're going to pay for what is needed in infrastructure for the school system in Fort Mill. The penny sales tax is a great idea, but that's a whole nother animal.
It's a big animal.
It's a big animal. You have to start all over again, and boy, that would be something. And quite frankly, it would make a whole lot of sense for education across the board in the county if we had another penny or another two pennies or whatever. But we don't have that. We're living where we are right now. So if you don't do this, have you even considered what your options would be?
We are confident that we're going to come to a reasonable agreement with the council, because I do believe our council is very supportive of our school district. They understand our challenges and are generally supportive of impact fees as a solution. I do believe that the issue is the dollar figure and the sticker shock of how the concerns that it could have on our community. So, for example, we hear about housing being unaffordable for teachers and firemen and policemen. And that's why I think it's so important to separate impact fees only being on new construction versus existing homes. I don't know about you. I have never bought a new home. I have always moved into an existing home in the five that I've purchased. You know, we hear concerns about someone who wants to take their land and build a second house on it for a family member. And while that may be a frequent occurrence in other parts of the county, I suspect I could count on one hand the number of times that has occurred in the last 8 years in our community. So it's, I think that we all agree that this is the way to go. It's how far can we go and it not be problematic for our growth.
Well, and if we take the assumption, I'll tell you what, we got to take a mid-program break. Let's do that. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at andersongriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. She's in education, she's a bright lady, and she knows exactly what we're about to do. We're going to tell everybody what goes on here at Substation 2, including that guy over there, that old retired politician over there. We do fresh subs and salads. How do we do them at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. You need to pick it up over there. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, "Hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill."
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill. And it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. Christy Spears is with us. She's the chair of the Fort Mill School Board, and she's got her plate full right now. I got to ask you one more question about the impact fees. Have you thought about, and I'm sure you all have, if you find some kind of a compromise between the 18 and the 30, whatever that is, it's not going to be enough to do what you need to do. So what do you think your fallback's going to be? You're just going to have to figure out how to make these schools cheaper?
We build our schools to pretty consistent standard level of service, and our taxpayers, our community, have been extremely supportive. Long before we had impact fees, we were still successful with bond referendums, and so that is the fallback that the rest of the state still works with. You know, there's a few that have impact fees, but that is the traditional method for funding, and we'll continue to do bond referendums. We just want to minimize them as much as possible because of the impact on our taxpayers. We understand our tax base is high. It's particularly difficult on businesses that also shoulder the whole brunt of operational costs.
Yeah.
And so that is our goal, is every dollar we can take off of their plate by impact fees is a dollar gained.
Which makes perfect sense. I got it. And again, the impact fee is only on new construction.
New home construction.
So if you sell your house to me and I buy it, I'm not paying any impact fee.
And you're not paying one anyway. The builder is paying it.
That's right.
And they have priced the market based on the market value they believe they can get for that home.
Which means, in layman's term, the $30,000 is going to be paid by the buyer. I mean, that's the way it's going to work.
Along with whatever other profits they've tacked on.
That's exactly right. It is a capitalistic world we live in.
Correct.
All right. So the next step is you wait for more weeks?
We have a third reading coming up on April the 7th, doing that from memory. Right. So there's 3 weeks in between just because of where we are in the month. And we will continue to plead our case and hope that we can come to a positive resolution.
Any backdoor conversations going on?
I'm sure there's all kinds of backdoor conversations. I have not personally been involved in any.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So one of the other things you have on your plate, along with two of the other school districts in York County, is you're seeing the retirement of Chuck Epps, who's been, golly day, he's been with the Fort Mill school system in one capacity or another for, what, 30-plus years?
Yeah, and 49 in education, most of that with Fort Mill.
Yeah, jeez, what a great record he's had. And boy, oh boy. And a lot of his effort has been building schools. My God. So tell me where the process is. What are you doing?
Yeah, so we actually had a board meeting last night and gave an update to our community on the superintendent search. We did, last meeting, vote to engage a firm that specializes in this, BWP. They do national searches. So we've engaged them. One of the individuals from BWP came and presented to the board and to our community last night. We have a timeline that takes us from now through basically the end of May. Our goal is to have, you know, Dr. Epps' official last day with the district is June 30th. He has agreed, and we're very thankful that he has agreed, because of his longevity with the district, to continue in a consulting-type partnering arrangement through the end of the year for things that will be going on that, you know, he'll be able to lend his expertise. But a new superintendent would officially take place, take over on July the 1st. So we would like to have the individual named and communicated before our students and teachers disappear for the summer to focus on other things for a little while.
I would imagine you're already getting a lot of calls on this. I got to think.
There are a lot of individuals that I'm sure are interested. From what I understand from the BWP presentation, they are getting calls. I believe the position will be posted. It's been mentioned, but I think it will formally be posted today, tomorrow. They have a process that they go through, and it's the reason we chose their firm. They have a very rigorous process of collecting information from our community, all different angles of that. So there are meetings throughout this week. They're here in person. There are staff member sessions. There are community public forums. There are online surveys so that they can get a feel for what the broad community, not just what the board, believes is needed. There have already been 700-800 people that have responded to the survey online. There's a big meeting scheduled for Thursday, tomorrow night, for the community to provide input and guidance and direction. The next step will be for them to take all of that and present a leadership profile that we will agree with, tweak, adjust, finalize, and that will be the first filter that they will review candidates through their fit to the leadership profile. They will probably weed out from, I don't know how many the number will start to be, but they'll weed out to a smaller number. There will be interviews that will occur late April, early May, narrowing down again. There will be, again, interview panels and things, and then there will be finalists in mid-May that the board will have a tough decision. Hopefully we'll have three strongly qualified candidates that we'll get to decide between them.
I can't imagine that any superintendent that's in this business wouldn't want to apply for this job. I mean, you got the premier school district in South Carolina, a strong track record, a great place to live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think you're going to be overwhelmed.
I think we will too. And we're not limiting it to local superintendents. I do believe that they're focusing on the Southeast. You know, one of the things I know, I've already spoken with them. They've spoken with all the board members to get some initial input. I do think understanding South Carolina law and South Carolina education funding, all of those things, they're different in other states. And so just really knowing how we manage education in the state of South Carolina and what our guardrails are is important, but they're definitely going much broader Southeast or technically nationwide. People could be applying.
Do you have any internal candidates that might be interested in this or have the qualities for this?
Again, I don't believe it is officially open to be posted. I do anticipate we may have one or two. Could have more. Don't know.
Don't look at me.
Don't know.
I'm not a superintendent, I can tell you. Very quickly, all this discussion, and I don't know what the right terminology is, that will allow public education parents that don't like work, you know, having their kids in the school. Let's go to Fort Mill. That's not the voucher system. What is it?
So the school choice.
Okay.
Is largely about private school and other and vouchers, you know, for students to go to schools other than public schools.
Right.
However, there is one version, I don't remember if it's House or Senate, that also references school choice more broadly,
right,
that's not based on where you live.
Right.
We get very concerned about that. We get much less concerned about school, about vouchers, because...
Right. People aren't leaving your district.
Yeah, but,
I got it.
But it is concerning based on our location that if everyone whose parent drives through Fort Mill on the way to Charlotte were to want to bring their kids to Fort Mill schools.
Christy Spears, thank you for your time today. Thank you for all that you do on the Fort Mill School Board. I'm sure we'll be talking with you as this continues to evolve. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Graves Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGraves.com. All right, if we can wake that guy up over in the corner, that politician who's retired, who's now buried into his phone, wake him up over there, would you please? There we go. All right, what do we do over here? Fresh subs and salads. 6 days a week. At the count of three, let's tell everybody. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Hey, got it that time, by golly. He's making his comeback. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.